Wednesday, the 2nd of December, Test Vov Kislev, Rabbi Chaim Shmal, Jigsaw Puzzles.
Morning. I didn't bring one with, but if I would to bring one piece of a jigsaw puzzle and ask you to describe it, you'd think I'm nuts. It makes no sense. One piece makes absolutely no sense at all. It's only when you put all the pieces in place. Ah, yes. Now every little piece makes sense. But before that, you can't make it out. That, Moira Braboisai, is life. All sorts of things happen to us. We can't understand them. The reason being, because everything is a small piece of a jigsaw puzzle. But when everything comes together, the picture is complete, then you understand. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Roish devorcha hemes. Ul oilam kol mishpat tzedkecha. Says the Baal HaTurim, Roish devorcha hemes. Sorry. On the Pasuk, Bereshis bora Elohim. Bereshis ends with a Tov, bora Aleph, Elohim, Men. That spells the word Emes. And that's Pshat Roish Devorcha. At the very beginning of the Torah, the first three words have the Rosh HaTeves Emes. And what about the last words in the first parsha? Asher Bora Elohim Lasois. Rosh HaTeves Sof Teves Emes. What's the difference? The difference is this. The Emes in Reish Devorcho Emes, Bereshis Bar Elohim, is in the wrong order. Bereshis, first the Tov, then the Aleph, and then the Mem. You have to rearrange them. In the end, it's Boro Elohim Lasis, Rosh HaTevis Emes, Kesidron. And I heard from one of my good Chavirim, Ryan Gukovitsky, he said that this is the Pshat in the Baal HaTurim. At the beginning, the Emes is there, but it's jumbled up. You can't work it out. It doesn't make sense. But when you zoicha to see the end product, now I see it's Tak Emes. And the Chassam Sofer says that this is also Merumas in Sedra Kisisa. It's Kodesh Baruch Hu, Moshe said to Rabban Shalom, Hareini nois kvoidecha. And Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Voro iso es achaviroi, ufonai lo yeirau, which is right, taiches, Voro iso achaviroi. In the end, you see the Yad Hashem. Ufonim, but at the beginning, you can't see anything. And the whole, our own personal life, and world history, works on this basis. There's nothing which is not min hashamayim, but you fail to see it at first. It's only later matters become apparent. Sometimes later is a couple of thousand years, but what's that between you and me? In this week's Sidra, we have the birth of Binyamin. His older brother was Yosef. How long was there, how many years, between the birth of Yosef and the birth of Binyamin? The answer is 8. When Yosef was born, why was he called Yosef? Yosef Hashem li bein acher. She wants just one more son. Why? Because there were going to be 12 Shvatim, they knew that, and they were already, with Yosef was number 11. So, if one of the other wives of Yaakov has another son, then Rachel would have only one, less than the Bilhah and Zilpah. So she prayed and prayed, Rabboinu Shel Olam, please give me that other boy I'm longing for. Why did the Rabban Shem keep her waiting 8 years? Couldn't the Rabban Shem said, okay, a year after Yosef, here's Binyamin. What's the idea of making her wait all these years? You'll find the answer in the Targum Sheni in Megillas Esther. Mordechai lo yichai ve lo yishtachave. Mordechai, I'm not bowing down. Why not, Mordechai? What's wrong? There is absolutely nothing wrong in bowing down to Rosha. Yaakov in Nisru Sedra, 7 times he bowed down. It's all right. We today shake hands. Hello, shake hands. No, they're sure. No big deal. What did Mordechai answer? My ancestor, Binyamin, didn't bow down, and I'm not going to do either. Hold on a minute. Why did your ancestor not bow down? You know why? He wasn't born. Says the Targum Sheni, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam decided the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built on the land owned by a person who did not bow down to Esau. So the Rabbeinu Shel Olam withheld the birth of Binyamin for 8 years so that there should be one son who didn't bow down to Esau, and on his land the Beis HaMikdash will be built. That's why the Rabbeinu Shel Olam kept her waiting. Now, I'm sure that at the time, it's very likely, Rachel didn't know that. But eventually, when it comes out, she's got the greatest covered. There are 12 Shvatim, and in whose land is the Beis HaMikdash built? On Shevet Binyamin. All works out. Yes. Rashi says that he knew Baruch HaKodesh. Yeah, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, the second perek, says like this, that Avram was meant to have Yutvei Shvatim, didn't happen. Yitzchak said, Oichet Nish. So Yaakov was left with the task of establishing Yutvei Shvatim. Very interesting, Baal HaTurim. Tamar had twins. Sa'oimim. Rivka had twins, Soimim. So Rashi's Chosa. Why Chosa? Because there were two Tzadikim. He was one Tzadik, one Rosha. But which letter is missing from Rivka's Soimim? Not one, two. The Yud and the Aleph. Because she was 11 short. She needed 12 Shvatim and she was short of by 11. So the Yud and the Aleph are missing. They knew all right. Incidentally, the birth of Yosef carries a very, very important lesson to us. What did she say? Osaf Elohim es cherposi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken away my embarrassment, my shame. What does she mean? So Rashi says like this. If a woman is childless and her husband comes home from a day work, hey, who ate these figs?
I did.
Who broke that plate?
I did.
But if she has a little boy, a mischievous little boy, he ate the things. He smashed the plate. So Osaf Elohim es cherposi, this cherpa of having to admit of having eaten the figs or smashed the plate, now Kadosh Baruch Hu is taken away from me. If there's ever been a modern Mama Chazal, this is it. The yearning of a woman to have a child is very strong. She said, I'd rather be dead than childless.
Death is pretty grim.
And she said to Yaakov, my tsar is such, I'm suffering such pain, I'd rather be dead. So the child for her is Tchias HaMesim. So she should have said, Osaf Elohim es Moisi, or something like that. What's this to do with a broken plate and eaten things? But Rachel Omeinu knew what she was talking about. She taught us a very important lesson in Hakoras HaToiv. in Hakoras Hatoiv, which we have to have, there is no difference between a big one and a small one. Let us say, for a childless woman to have a baby, registers 100 on the Hakoras Hatoiv scale. The losing the embarrassment of who broke the plate might register 1 on the scale. So you know, in Halacha, everything, almost, is mortal, 100 to 1. But you're learning Orla now, so you've learned that it's 200 to 1. And all right, but Kamat everything is either mortal b'shishim or mortal b'meah. But not with Hakoras Hatoiv. Hakoras Hatoiv, which registers 1 on the scale, is not mortal in Hakoras Hatoiv, which registers 100. And she was teaching us a lesson. When you show your Hakoras Hatoiv, it's not just for big things. The tiniest thing needs Hakoras Hatoiv. There's another proof to that. Ha-yoyim atam yoytzim b'choydesh ha-obif, says Rashi. Pleasant weather. It's not hot, and it's not cold, it's not raining. Just right for traveling. Chaboisai. Just think of it. The Yidden had been suffering avoidas perach for 116 years. When this avoidas perach comes to an end, it probably registers 100 on the scale of Hakoras Hatoiv. And tell me, how much does the weather register? Goodness. And if the weather's not nice, it also goes. But Chazal teaches, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hayom Atam Yotzei B'Chodesh Aviv. You've got to give Hakoras to Rabbeinu for having saved you from this Avodas Perach. And also, that when the Golus ended, it ended during a period of pleasant weather. But how did the story start? It started by Eden going into Golus Mitzrayim. No, that's not true. That's not when it started. It started many years before that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham, Lech lecha me'artzecha, settle in Eretz Yisrael. Fine. He gets there. What happens? Severe famine. I can't stay. It's impossible. So that was one of the 10 nisyonos. Would Avraham be maharhar? Would he have any thoughts that Ribbono Shel'olam's acting strangely? No. Emuno Shleima. So he goes down to Egypt. Very unpleasant experience. And Avraham could ask himself, why did Ribbono Shel'olam do this? And the story I understand, but why the unpleasantness which happened with Sarah in Egypt? Huh? There's an answer. The Zohar HaKodesh tells us that when Paroi made the wedding arrangements for Sarah, the king obviously has to give her a dowry, so he gave her a plot of land called Goyishim. So from that time onwards, it had the Kedusha, it belonged to Sarah Imenu, and had her Kedusha. And it didn't have the Toyavas Mitzrayim. So that when, hundreds of years later, the Yidden get there, Yeshvu Beretz Goshen, it's there for them, belongs to great-grandmother, take possession. So the Bunchum has everything planned out. At first, no idea. If you wait long enough, you'll see that the Bunchum's plans are exactly to the point. Rashi tells us in Sedra Toildois, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misaver the Tfiloson Shel Tzadikim. That's why Sora was an Akara, and Rivka was an Akara, and Rochel was an Akara. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misaver the Tfiloson Shel Tzadikim. Fine. But what does Rabbi Shem do with them? He has a tav, a desire. Fine. I like apples, so I eat them. But what does Ribbono Shel Olam do with Tfilos and Shel Tzadikim? Says the Malbim like this. According to the laws of nature, young couple get married. After a short time, a slightly longer time, they're blessed with a family. But children who are born without the background of tefillah are usually ordinary children. For there to be born a child with an extra outsized neshama, for that you need tefillah. Tefillah is the background. It's the basis of the later satsadik. And that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept them waiting. The Bojan wanted their tefillahs. The more tefillah which goes into the birth of a child, the greater the chance that he'll be something exceptional. We know that, of course, from Yitzchok and Yaakov. But who of Rachel's children were known as tzaddikim? Yosef HaTzaddik and Binyamin HaTzaddik. Why? Because they had tefillah. Lots of tefillah before they were born. And who was the Talmud Chacham? Yisachar. Why was he the Talmud Chacham? Because Leah had four sons, then it's about Tamoid Miledus. No more children after that. So what did she do? She davened. If you daven, the children are exceptional. So the exceptional children were Yisachar, Yosef, and Binyamin, all came after the periods of tefillah. Ribbono Shalom tells Shmuel Hanovi, go to Beis Lechem, there's a man there called Yishai, and you should anoint one of his sons to be the next Melech to replace Shaul. So he goes there, and he tells Yishai the good news. Now let's see your sons. So he brought in seven sons. So, first of all comes in Eliyahu the Bechayah. Ach neged Hashem Mashiachai, says Shmuel. I can see the Mashiach Hashem. Which book says, no, Ma'astit, I've rejected him. Apelof in Azach. Yishai, one of the four people who died without chet, made a big blunder. He was sure that the next king would be his Bechayr. Ma'astit, rejected. Incidentally, this was a punishment for Shmuel, because Shmuel had said, Ani Horoya. Which book said, I'll show you you're not the Roya. But anyway, no. Nobody knows why. But you find out, doesn't take long to find out, when Yishai sent David to the army, he sent him because the battle was taking time, and he wanted his three sons who were there to send a get to the wife in case they disappear in battle. So when David turns up, Eliab does his nut, he explodes. What are you doing here? Well, a Carson. He's got the middah of Kars. Sorry. If you want to be a Melech, Kars is out of it. Just takes a little bit of time to find out. But in the end, you find it all out. The story, of course, is very interesting because Yishai and his seven sons had a very low opinion of David. David is good for one thing. You know what's he good for? Looking after the sheep. So when it comes to who might be the next king, kommt nicht in Frage, sagt man in Deutsch. So, the seven sons are introduced. The first one, Ma'astiv, because he could have been, but he was rejected because he was cast. The others, kommt nicht in Frage, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven. So Shmuel says, Hatamu Hanaorim, is that the Yolot? Nah, this is the little ones out there, bring him in. So, David, against all expectations, the Melech. Very strange story. He's got this Bechor Eliyahu, handsome-looking man, and the other seven were also nice, good-looking people, and this little David, the ginger, he's chosen as Melech. Shaknish, a pelat also. Just have a bit of patience, you'll find out. He comes to the battlefield, and there's that horrible giant, Goliath, and he's mechadef umegadef. Every time the Yidden say Kriyas Mamur in the evening, he shouts out, Chirufim, Gedufim, challenge me, big Goliath, see if there's anybody who can challenge me. Everybody's scared stiff. So, Mishich Mamalu Gevoyam in Kol Odom. Saul was head and shoulders about everybody. Will he face the giant? Oh, no. Not me. A big reward for somebody who kills him, but not me. And who steps forward? David. So you see, you've learned pretty fast, haven't you? The David was rejected. The only good he can do is look after sheep. Suddenly he's the hero. The one and only person in Klal Yisrael who will challenge a giant. A gadolcha. What gave him the guts to challenge this man who's twice his size? An incident. He was looking after his father's sheep, and the sheep were attacked first by a bear and then by a lion, and he drove them off. And David had a question. Now why did Rabban Shimon make this happen? If Rabban Shimon wants one of my sheep to be killed, let it drop dead. You have to have a bear and a lion, or what it does. So he said, yeah. Well, there must be some answer to this question. We'll just wait. Didn't have to wait very long. There's the giant. And David said, ah, yes. If I could kill a bear with my bare hands, then who's this Hebrew man here? So everything which happens is a piece in the jigsaw puzzle. It by itself makes no sense. As I said, let the sheep drop dead if we're going to lose a sheep. Actually, the sheep was killed. But he drove off the lion and the bear, and the Zeich the Nessi made himself a belt from the skin of this sheep. Anyway, he was given an indication. That's the difference between the tzaddikim and ordinary people. A tzaddik analyzes every event and asks, now why did it happen? He doesn't know now. He'll find out. The same with Mordechai. Mordechai had a gewaldige kasha. Esther was a good Jewish sneistike woman. She did her best to hide herself, and she was found. And when she was taken to the king, she didn't want anything. All these girls who were candidates for the queenship, they wanted musical accompaniment and that sort of thing when they went to the king to make a good impression. She does not want to make a good impression. And he loved her more than all the women. So Mordechai had a kasha. How comes? Well, he didn't have to wait very long. 4 years. Comes out the Gzeira. Now who's in the position to annul the Gzeira? And the king's queen, of course. Everything slots into place. Another item from this week's parsha. Vayivose Yaakov levadoi, vayeovik ish imay adalois hashachar. And this man was a soroi shel Esav. He couldn't win, not against Yaakov, so what did Moshe send him for? What's the point? Change his name, Yisrael, Moshe can do that. So what's the big idea? To make him limp? Anybody can develop a limp. You don't have to fight with an angel to develop a limb. So Yaakovina's got a kasha. I've also got a kasha, Rabbi Yisrael. How do you envisage? Vayachatz eshoma she'itoi l'shnei machnois. How do you think this shnei machnois work? I'll tell you what my thinking is. My thinking is like this. Esav's coming with 400 men armed. He wants to do battle. I've got wives and children. So how do I divide my camp? The soldiers in front. And he says, if he fights, The women and children will escape. That's how I always envisaged the two camps. Perhaps other people got other ideas. But anyway, that's whatever it is, I've got a kasha. Because the next morning, Yaakov sets out his family. The wives and the children. And they were the first people, except for Yaakov himself, to meet Esav. Hey, Yankala, what's happened to your Shemachanos? You were going to protect the wives and children here. Esav, my family, how do you do? Mazeh? Now the answer is very simple. When that Malach of Esav was sent to wrestle with Yaakov, and he had to plead, please let me go, it's my time to say Shira. And Yaakov said, hold on, not so fast. I want you to admit the brachas are mine by rights. Yeah, you're right. Off he goes. This gave Yaakov confidence. If Esav's Malach can't beat me, what chance does Esav himself has? The Rebbeinu sent that Malach to fight Yaakov and lose the battle to give Yaakov confidence. And that is why the next day the set of the camp is quite different. Yaakov completely forgot about the Shemachanos. Now he was confident he can face his brother and introduce his family and no harm will come.
Why was he scared?
At first he was scared. The Shemachanos was the night before the Malach came to fight. So, before the Malach came, he was scared. You can't learn another pshat in that. He was scared stiff. And that's why he made the Shemachanos. The Boshim didn't want that. The Boshim wants Yaakov to face Esav with confidence, so he sends the Malach. And now, Yaakov has the confidence, he doesn't need any soldiers. Esav, this is my family.
Separate the two camps by Malach Yom Echad. There was a whole day of journey in between the two.
Don't think so. It doesn't look like it. That was when he sent the doyron, the gifts. Then there was a gap. No. Agav Orcha, I'll end up with a walk from the Malbim. When Yaakov and Esav eventually met, the first thing Esav sees are four women and their children. He says, "Mi elelach? Who are these people?" He's a bit dim-witted. He can't work out that this is Yaakov's family. And Yaakov doesn't answer the question either. He says, "Hayelodim asher chomen elekim esavdecha." But who are the women? Says the Malbim Mazai. Esav was a grober bal tava. And he was the one most likely to go in for any number of wives. Officially he had only three, unofficially who knows. Yaakov Ishtar. Taiva and Yaakov don't go together. So when he sees four wives, he says, Yaakov, what's happened to you? Have you joined my Taiva club? Four wives, one's not enough? So Yaakov, you got it all wrong. I don't belong to your Taiva club, but the Rebbein Shom says we have to have Yud Beishvotim. That's why I've got four wives. You've got wives because you're about Taiva. Children, the Mela, you're Nishnish. Not so by me, he says. Hayalodim. I have to set up Yud Beishvotim, and with one wife I couldn't do it. And that's why he says, Hayalodim, Ashechonon Elikim Esavdecha.